All right, looks like Gloria can't take the mic, so I'll introduce our mystery minister, who is Reverend Joanne Schneider. So Joanne, Reverend Joanne, the mic is all yours.
Hello, I too had a little bit of a problem taking the mic. Can you hear me okay? Good morning, online Universal Assembly of Peers. Yes, I'm the big mystery this morning. And, you know, December 10th, here we are getting ready to go, you know, into the holidays. So I thought about that as we, you know, for my teaching today. I've asked Lynn to take care of my music, so we will have a song, and we will greet each other. Lynn, I'm handing it over to you.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Memory, dawn is breaking, waves are coming in, everybody here, standing in wonder, beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
So I will do the announcements before I do the statement of purpose. So I have about four or five of them here. First, Awakening Together will offer Introduction to Buddhism beginning in January. One strength of Buddhism is its practices. According to Thich Nhat Hanh, awareness is being in the backbone, Awareness of being is the backbone of the Buddhist method. Awareness of being is a discipline that helps a man to realize himself. This class, which focuses on Buddhist practices, will be offered on Thursday evenings, January 4th through February 9th, from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern. So that's 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 Pacific. Homework begins December 29th. Reverend Carrie Christensen will be the facilitator. The cost of this class is $120. For full details and to register, go to awakening-together.org and look at classes under retreats and classes. Okay, the second announcement. As I'm sure you've noticed, the holiday season is upon us. If you still have gifts to order, consider ordering your gifts from smile.amazon.com. If Awakening Together is selected as your charity, smile.amazon.com will donate 0.05% of your purchase to Awakening Together. In the last year, we have raised $216.48 in your Amazon Smile purchases. Thank you. And by the way, at the end of the year, I think it's at the end of the year, you learn how much you've donated, and I donated approximately $46 to that 216 from my shopping last year. So it is really cool. Okay, the next announcement. This week, the Michael Langford Study Group moves from Wednesday nights to Monday nights. Starting tomorrow, the group will meet in the sanctuary for an hour every week from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern, which is 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific. They are currently contemplating and discussing Michael's book, The Importance of Practice and Effort. Also, remember to join us at 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, 4 p.m. Pacific, for 1 hour of awareness, watch, and awareness meditation. Also, Regina's I Am That teaching has moved from Monday nights to the first, third, and fifth Wednesday night of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern. NTI discussions is held in that same time slot on the second and fourth Wednesdays. Yes, I see the comments. And I mentioned the $46 because I didn't do anything except just shop. So that's really cool. Anyway, the last announcement. Join us in the sanctuary tonight for Kate's Hour of Miracles at 6 p.m. Eastern, followed by Regina's Seven Steps teaching and a Holy Spirit Guides audio, and then Satsang with Craig Holiday at 9 p.m. Eastern, which is 6 p.m. Pacific. That's all for the announcements. So today's teaching, actually I've called it Man in the Mirror, but more it's man in like patience. And here I'll post that. So it's not like the man, but what we see is our mirror. So I thought the fifth core value best fits, and that is we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awarenesses of self. Awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. So as you think about what it means to honor all appearances and all experiences, then Lynn will play the next song.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And as I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat. tomorrow in my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. And the wine, no one yet to know.
So, I guess you, as you can see by watching the board, that's not really the order I had things planned, but you know, all is well. And So let's take a minute to just have an opening prayer, and I'm going to be in silence a little bit until that prayer comes into my mind. So while the order of things have not been what I had in my mind, all things will work out well within our oneness. And so let us let the mystery unfold this morning as we spend time together. So Becky, or Rebecca, will read the reading I chose for today. It's from Nook Sanchez's book, The End of Death. So take it away, Rebecca.
Good morning, and thank you very much for asking me to read, Joanne. And as you said, this is from the book, The End of Death, page 28, excuse me, page 28, from Nook Sanchez. To find our true self, we need the help of others, as it's impossible to find the holy self alone. Other people serve as flawless mirrors of our own repressed and unrecognized judgments, beliefs, and values. Everyone we encounter in our lives act as screens upon which we project all our denied guilt. They show us just where our emotional triggers are. And we need these triggering experiences so we can initiate the process of identifying and forgiving the true cause of our suffering, which is always in our own mind. It's never outside of us in the past, the body, or in the behavior of others. And that ends the reading. Thank you. Releasing the mic.
Thank you, Becky. So I chose this. Some of you know that I am currently leading a group that's studying Nook Sanchez's book here in the St. Louis area locally. And because one of the reasons is because Nook is coming here for a retreat next June, at the end of June. So it would be a good time to kind of go through her end of death book. Well, when I read this paragraph, I loved it. It jumped out at me, and but she didn't really include many times in her book. She includes references from the course. You know, she's a big course student, and so I thought I would, in preparation for today, I would go through the course and find all the places that that Jesus refers to mirrors. So I have a little program that sort of does that and prints it all on one page, and it's real simple. So there's a number of verses that refer to mirrors. So I'll go through a couple and discuss them. In the fourth chapter, there is, it says, the Course says, the glass in which the ego seeks to see its face is dark indeed. How can it maintain the trick of its existence except with mirrors? But where you look to find yourself is up to you. So right there, the glass in which the ego seeks to see its face is dark indeed. But how can it maintain the trick of its existence except with mirrors? So what we see, those, you know, like the reading says, other people serve as our flawless mirrors. Those mirrors What we see from those other people really is reflects our ego. The glass in which the ego seeks to see his face is dark indeed. How can it maintain the trick of its existence except with mirrors? The trick of its existence. Mirrors are constantly, you know, reflecting back at us. People serve as those flawless mirrors. And they are the flawless mirrors of our own repressed and unrecognized judgments, beliefs, and values. Hence, the mirrors can reflect back at us our ego. The Course says, but where you look to find yourself is up to you. So we have a choice in this. Then in chapter 7, the Course says, your brother is the miracle in which you see the image of yourself as long as perception lasts. You made perception, and it must last as long as you want it. So again, this reflects, first of all, that our brother is our flawless mirror that reflects our own repressed and unrecognized judgments, beliefs, and values. And that actually everyone we encounter in our lives act as a screen upon which we project all of our denied guilt, like the reading says. But the Course says, you made perception, because all of this, these mirrors reflect our perception, and it must last as long as you want it to. Again, we have a choice. So this rang to me, this paragraph that Nook wrote. I think one big reason is because we are right before the holidays, and there is just really something, it has been sort of sacred about that to me. A few years ago I went on a silent retreat the weekend before Thanksgiving, and it really is sort of like a preparation for the holidays and being around family. And I think we have talked about this in Awakening Together, how family is maybe our our clearest mirrors, if that's such a thing. And so, you know, there's always something. I mean, for example, you know, and I consider myself just average. So I think if I experience it, we all experience it, right? So we see and judge, like the reading, like Nook's reading says, we judge, believe, and value. So we judge other people's behaviors, what they say. We think we know intention. I mean, even people that we might be driving next to that maybe, you know, shifts lanes because when they're not looking or whatever, we think we know intention. And that really is reflecting back to us, our judgment, beliefs, values. This is really easy to do, the intentions, imposing intentions on others. It's really easy to do at family time, with family. And so, you know, this teaching today is just pointing, is just helping us see or that our brother really is our mirror, our brothers and sisters, but brother broadly is our mirror. And when we see how we see them really reflects what is inside of us. But we have a choice. The Course in chapter 14 says, the reflections you accept into the mirror of your mind in time will bring eternity nearer or further. You know, it's interesting because, you know, there's a mirror in our mind and then there's the mirror that is shining back to us. And, you know, when you really sit down and sort of contemplate that, there's a lot, like a lot going on there, it seems like. What's in our mind is projected out and bounces right back. You know, that's really almost something to sort of sit with for a while. And the way our mind, the mirror of our mind, can bring eternity nearer or farther. And then in chapter 24, our brother's holiness is sacrament and benediction unto you. He is the mirror of yourself, wherein you see the judgment you have laid on both of you. The Christ in you beholds his holiness. Your separateness looks on his body and beholds him not. Again, this verse reflects the fact that he is our mirror. Our brother is our mirror, wherein we see the judgment we've laid on both of us. So if we behold him as the Christ, we see his holiness. If our specialness looks at him, at his body, and sees him as individual, then we behold him not. We do not see him as holiness. So yes, Dove says perception has a focus. Yes, very, Ron says easy default is judgment. Oh yeah, all the time. And Cindy says Christ's vision is ambiguous. It runs freely. So let's look at seeing this. You know, we see now that the mirror is really reflecting our ego. Let's look now at how the mirror can reflect God. In chapter 14 also, the reflection of God needs no interpretation. It is clear. Clean but the mirror, and the message that shines forth from that mirror holds out for everyone to see. No one can fail to understand. So let me read that last sentence again. Clean but the mirror, and the message that shines forth from that, from what the mirror holds out for everyone to see, no one can fail to understand. So the reflection of God needs no interpretation. It is clear. It goes on to say, it is the message that the Holy Spirit is holding to the mirror that is in him. So that's a little bit difficult for me. It's not coming to me clearly now. So it is clear, it says. Well, it's not necessarily clear in my mind right now. But, you know, the message I get here is clean that mirror. So clean that mirror. Clean your mirrors. Look at their flawless mirrors. Clear them. And what does that really mean? Well, that means clean your mind, purify your mind. Yes, polish up those mirrors and put on your old halo, Cindy says. This is our choice to clean those mirrors, make them clear. Also in chapter 14, could you but realize for a single instant the power of healing that the reflection of God shining in you can bring to all the world. You could not wait to make the mirror of your mind clean to receive the image of the holiness that heals the world. So this is really awesome. If we just realized for a single instant the power of the healing that the reflection of God shining in us can bring to the world, then we would clear our mind. And you could not wait to make the mirror of your mind clean to receive the image of the holiness that heals the world. So, you know, there's really two mirrors here. We have one in our mind, we can reflect God, but we are reflecting, or we see what we see in others is reflecting, sort of, maybe it's reflecting our mirror, but it's reflecting what's within us. And again, we can make that choice. We can clean that mirror. Let's see here. Okay, so then let's look at so in chapter 29 of the course, it says, this sacred Son of God is like yourself, the mirror of his Father's love for you, the soft reminder of his Father's love by which he was created and which still abides in him as it abides in you. Be very still and hear God's voice in him, and let it tell you that what his function is. He was created that you might be whole, for only the complete can be part of God's completion, which created you. This touched me because this is helping us. It's taking us now into that next step of how do we clean our mind. And so I'm going to read that again and look at all the how-tos. The sacred Son of God is like yourself. So our brother is like ourself. The mirror of his Father's love for you, the soft reminder of his Father's love by which he was created and which still abides in him as it abides in you. Be very still and hear God's voice in him. So be very still and hear God's voice in him. Didn't say in me or in you, but in him. So to me that means look at what he or she, my brother, is teaching me by what I'm seeing and judging and believing and valuing. And let it tell you what his function is. So what is his function? You know, I don't know. My grow-up family, World Life family, is really going through some turbulence. And it's interesting how I get distressed at seeing one of my brothers distressed. And what I have to sit back, I'm seeing that total distress of him. That's my flawless mirror. What is that really telling me about what's inside me? It's maybe I am reflecting. I don't know. There's this total reflection going back and forth. I don't know if I understand it all, but I do know that whatever I see from him is telling me where I have to go. Let him tell me. Yes, let him tell you, Cindy says. And so be very still and hear God's voice in him. So really, what I see from this flawless mirror is really God's voice teaching me, or it's my opportunity to hear what God wants me to hear and grow in a way that God wants me to grow. And apparently it's taken me a while because I still see that distress in my brother. And of course, then it spills into my mother, who calls me and complains and judges, and you know, which I see judgment, complaint, you know, all of this, which again is more reflection of my own unrecognized judgments, beliefs, and values. And apparently I haven't fixed all this because it's still going on. So this all triggers emotion for me. And as you might expect, our Christmas holidays is going to be very different this year, good or bad, but I'm going to jump right into it and hopefully grow. I don't know. I think I'm hoping I can do the wax on, wax off kind of thing that Cindy talked about. Maybe I can grow from it and clear my mind and really get rid of a trigger. So be very still and hear God's voice in him, and let it tell you what his function is. Our brother, our sister, he was created that you might be whole, for only the complete can be part of God's completion, which created you. And so really, you know, this kind of reflects to me that stillness, listening to what is, what God wants me to hear, learn from this flawless mirror in front, in my experience, which, you know, kind of relates back to the our core value, this temporary experience that really is, that we need to honor. I need to sit, listen in stillness, and honor the experience for what it has to teach me. And know, this is like the encouraging part, know that he was created that you might be whole, for only the complete can be a part of God's completion, which created you. So he was created that you might be whole. To me, that means, you know, this is really a blessing for me. This flawless mirror that is triggering my emotion is totally a blessing for me. Let's see, in the workbook, lesson number 73 said, your picture of the world can only meet what is within. The source of neither light nor darkness can be found without. Grievances darken your mind, and you look out on the darkened world, on a darkened world. Forgiveness lifts the darkness, reasserts your will, and lets you look upon a world of light. Here again, the Course is telling us a practice that we can do is forgiveness. And this just brings to my mind that how do we deal with these flawless mirrors. The last verse said to be very still. And he has really, those of sanctuary, and over time you can't help but to collect a bunch of tools in the toolbox that help that purification process, self-inquiry, root cause inquiry, contemplation, meditation, just a number of things, rest, accept, and trust. All of those different tools we can use, that's important. This is for me seeing these flawless mirrors actually give me, reasserts that I need to practice to purify. And like, I'm also going through a book by Paul Brunton on Monday nights. This, he talks about how important this long path of awakening is, where the long path, meaning the purification process, the practices that go into it, that is so important in this process. And without it, even the temporary awakening experiences we have, we are only temporary because we have to still do our due diligence in this long path of purification. Using those mirrors, practicing being still and listening to God's voice from that, from with, you know, that our brother is, that God is teaching us through our brother, through those flawless mirrors, and then practicing forgiveness. And then in workbook lesson 304, which was just fairly recent, I can obscure my holy sight if I intrude my world upon it. Nor can I behold the holy sights Christ looks upon unless it is his vision that I use. Perception is a mirror, not a fact. And what I look on is my state of mind reflected outward. I would bless the world by looking on it through the eyes of Christ. So that's our mission. Perception is a mirror, not a fact. And what I look on is my state of mind reflecting outward. There is not much better, clearer than that. Those flawless mirrors that flawless mirror, or my brother's as flawless mirrors are, it is my perception. These mirrors is perception, not a fact, and they reflect my state of mind. I would bless the world by looking on it through the eyes of Christ. But you know, then there is some reference to mirrors in NTI. Luke chapter 4. This is a course that looks inside the mind and inside the heart by examining symbols that seem to be outside. By looking through the mirror of your mind, we will discover the beliefs you hold onto there. We will look at your beliefs together and examine honestly what they say to you. Then you can decide if you want to listen to them or not. Yes. Okay, so by looking through the mirror of your mind, we can discover the beliefs you hold on to there. Okay, so that those mirrors show us what our beliefs are. Now, we will look at these beliefs together and examine honestly what they say to you. Then you can decide if you want to listen to them or not. So we can go on and, you know, still consider that, you know, that we think we know our brothers and sisters' intentions, and we can be angry. We can, you know, see them as being separate, or we can choose to purify, use something in our toolbox to to grow. So you can decide if you want to listen to them or not. So are we going to listen what we hear or see in our on our mirror, on our brothers as flawless mirrors, or are we going to grow from that? And then in NTI James chapter 1, do not merely listen to my words without practicing what I say. To listen but not to practice is to be like a man who looks in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what he saw. Yes, we have the choice to, well, we do, we will, just being in this world, like, we will see that flawless mirror. We will see an image on that mirror. But we have the choice to actually walk away and forget what we saw. So what are we going to do that this holiday season? And then I do have to, since most recently, some of the readings for gentle healing was NTI, 1 Peter, about 3 weeks ago maybe. Jacqueline covered it in class. And but there was a paragraph there that really kind of sort of wraps it up for me. The mirror wasn't a term in it, but I just remembered, I was listening to the recording and I remembered what she said. I thought, oh, I'm going to have to look at that. It's NTI 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, look within to the misperceptions that make you special. That is, those misperceptions have that seem to hold you apart from the rest. They may seem to be misperceptions that make you better, such as talent or wisdom or love. Or they may seem to be misperceptions that make you less than, such as unworthiness, sacrifice, or disdain. Whatever you see that seems to separate you from others is a misperception, and it has arisen within your awareness that it may be let go through your decision to be free of it. That last sentence, that's it. That's our key for this holiday season. Whatever you see that seems to separate you from others is a misperception, and it has arisen within your awareness that it may be let go through your decision to be free of it. It has arisen within your awareness. It is God speaking to you. You've recognized it. It's triggered something for you. That is your that's your trigger to let it go. And it's your opportunity, your chance to make that decision to be free of it. And then the last, you know, the reading that Rebecca read, that last sentence. And we need these triggering experiences so we can initiate the process of identifying and forgiving the true cause of our suffering, which is always in our own mind. It's never outside of us, in the past, the body, or the behavior of others. So in summary, what we behold in our world life is our mirror. All of it, really. Our brothers, our sisters, all are, quote, men, unquote, in the mirror for us. All things are this men, this symbolic men in the mirror for us. We can change what we see in the mirror. And so, so for any relationship for which you do not see Christ in your mirror, this song, oh, well, the song, Man in the Mirror, you know, think about that. And good luck. Enjoy the holidays. And, you know, use it to the fullest. Grow, because these are like great times we don't want to miss. See your mirrors. See clearly. Wax on, wax off. And I'm going to give up the mic for the song that Lynn chose. This is really the Man in the Mirror song was supposed to be. But you know what? All things are perfect, and I'm good with it. And maybe the man in the mirror hearing it first kind of tuned you into what your mirror is. Anyway, I'm giving up the mic. Thank you all.
His lips speak. All
Thank you, Lynn. So now it's time for, yes, I did post the donate sign of the donate link, and I forgot to say that, but I would assume you all know that, and I hope you saw my message to donate. Now it's time for open sharing for everyone. So would someone like to share with regards to the message today? Oh, Reverend Gloria.
All right. Good morning, beloveds. I'm sorry you couldn't hear me earlier. I was actually, my computer was rebooting, so I was on a different device. But I am here, and I did very much enjoy Reverend Joanne's message today. So thank you to her and Reverend Becky and Lynn as well. Just wanted to comment on the Mystery Minister segment for a moment as it relates to Joanne's sharing today. The opportunity to be the Mystery Minister, we have several Awakening Together ministers who have come forward this year to share on the second Sunday of the month. And on behalf of the Minister Subcommittee, which consists of myself, Reverend Helen, Reverend Dolores, and Reverend Doreen, we'd like to thank you all for coming forward and sharing so freely and sincerely with our community. So I just wanted to say that being this sharing that Joanne did today, being a mirror, realizing that we are indeed a mirror for others, and they also serve us, others, quote unquote, others also serve us in the exact same way. Having the opportunity to share, I've you know, certainly been in a position here where I've been able to come forward and share what my experience, you know, being the mirror, you know, and mirroring my experience back out into the world. And it really does assist at a very deep level with growth, with understanding, with clarity, with being honest with yourself and others. So I wanted to share that we are now, our schedule for 2018 is now open. So if you are an Awakening Together minister and you'd like to get on the schedule for 2018, you can send an email, and I'll post the email address there in the room for you to submit your selection for 2018, because we are again scheduling ministers for 2018. So I really wanted to say thank you to Joanne as well as all of the ministers who have come forward this year to share with us on Second Sunday, and we look forward to hearing so much more from you all in 2018. I'll release this mic for Lynn.
Thank you so much, Rev Gloria, and thank you, Rev Joanne, for asking me to be the music director here, and apologize again for switching the songs. I was confused, as I am on drugs right now because I have been sick for a while, but it's all perfect. And this is my practice. You know, you have described, this is my practice. You know, this is where I figured out that, you know, there were some people who used to come into ACIM Gather, who used to come into Awakening Together, and they had a lot of controversial thoughts and were, you know, really showing anger and upset and fear. And I used to just think, you know, I can't, you know, why don't those guys just drop off to earth and and stop bugging me with their opinions? Of course, you know, that's how I am. if I don't like it, I don't want to see it. But then, you know, that second song that I played, the Who song, it just came to me one day, and I just looked at it and I recognized, you know, go to the mirror. And, you know, what it is that you're seeing is a reflection of your own thinking. And I recognized how hateful my thoughts were at times, how angry my thoughts were at times, how many times I looked at a brother and wished that he would drop off the earth. You know, I really honestly, not seeing this is me, this is me, this is me. And so that song, Go to the Mirror, I copied that. I played it to myself. I never played it to anyone else because it wasn't for anyone else. It was only for me. When your eyes can't see and your ears can't hear and your mind can't think, you don't really know what is there. And so you're being completely blinded by what you think you see. But what I think I see is not the truth. And when I look in the mirror, what I think I see is not me. When I look at my brother, what I think I see is not a person, individual character that is capable of upsetting me or making me fearful or making me angry or giving me, you know, whatever kind of feeling I think that they were doing to me. They were not doing it at all. It was me the whole time. And when I saw in the mirror that everything I think I see is a reminder of the truth about myself, or it is a reminder of the falsehoods of the ego, and I can choose every single time. And by seeing that, it has completely freed my mind from these thoughts of judgment and anger and fear. You know, I can watch any news show. I can, you know, walk by people on the street. I can, you know, I can hear about any horrible thing and look immediately in that mirror. Immediately look in that mirror and see what is it in my mind that makes this appear to be the world I live in. And to let go of that, to let go of that by seeing, by forgiving it and recognizing this is not what God would have made ever, and letting God off the hook for my own mistakes and for my own ignorance and my own fear. Letting God off the hook, remembering that these brothers are just here to show me my mistaken beliefs. And I'm so very grateful to them, because as I change my mind about them, the world does change and it becomes the better place. And this is where we are. We are in the good place. It may not seem like the good place, but that's where we are. And anyway, I see Dove has his hand up. I'll let go of the mic.
All right. Thank you so much, Joanne. That was just a wonderful sharing. And yes, our relationships is really how to speed up the process of remembering the truth of what we are. The Course in Miracles says, this course saves time simply because it's about relationships. As you see your brother, you see yourself. As you treat your brother, you treat yourself. It's been said that relationships are where the rubber meets the road. So this is how we really apply it. There are many paths, but any path that actually recognizes, as you say, my brother is myself, is the way to remember quicker, because it does save time. Exactly as Lynn just says, there's some that you feel would get lost, and it's really my lack of commitment to myself. I can see them differently. I can choose again. And as the Course in Miracles says, what is it that you would see when all you really want to see is love? That's what you'll see. You only see what you choose to see. I see that Iris posted something here on the board, basically here earlier. Projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it. Nothing more than that. It's the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. So, in that lesson, 181, I trust my brothers who are one with me. That's where you find that projection has a focus. Projection has a focus. So what is my commitment to myself? Am I willing to see what I truly am? Then I must have a focus on seeing my brother. In this world, it may appear that some brothers are less loving. Maybe they are acting out some kind of behavior that cannot be called, quote, loving, unloving. But when I'm willing to see that everything here is either love or a call for love, which is really a call for help, the brother that is acting out is really saying, please show me that there is such a thing as love. And that is the choice I can always make. I can extend the peace and the love, the gentleness, the honesty, the truth. It's really a commitment that I make to myself. Someone said this morning to me, you know, I just don't have that commitment, you know, to do this course. And it's really not doing a course, it's really a commitment to yourself. There is a place in the course that says, if you're not fully committed, you don't think that you are worth that commitment. So to know my true worth, I must be fully committed, not sometimes, but all the time. And as you say, at that Christmas gathering, it's going to be a little different this year than past years, because we are now aware of what it is that I really want to see. What is it I really want to see? If you choose it, you'll see it. Thank you so much for the mirrors that we all are for each other. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you all. This is a time now that we will end in gratitude. And so again, I'm just going to be silent until my gratitude comes up. Oh, and Lynn posted 181, from lesson 181. Perception has a focus. It is this that gives consistency to what you see. Change but this focus, and what you behold will change accordingly. Your vision now will shift to give support to the intent, which has replaced the one you held before. Remove your focus on your brother's sins, and you experience the peace that comes from focus, from faith in sinlessness. This faith receives its only sure support from what you see in others pass their sins. For their mistakes, if focused on, are witnesses to sins in you. And you will not transcend their sight and see the sinlessness that lies beyond. So, day, I just want to thank everybody who showed up. And thank you, Lynn, for being my musician. And thank you, Rebecca, for reading for me. And Ken, for being the admin. And just, you know, all of us together, thank you all. And thank you all also for just being the mirror for me. I got a lot of cleaning to do still, but it is a joy to do it with my online Universal Assembly of Peers here in Awakening Together. So thank you, and I loved it. So one last thing, there'll be a closing song, and of course that's going to be a mystery to me also, but I do have the link. Yesterday when I was preparing for this, kind of getting my thoughts together, I found Man in the Mirror, and I kind of rocked out with it. So here's a link for Man in the Mirror to anybody who wants to rock out later. See you all online. Love you all. Bye.
There are times when you might feel aimless. You can't see the places where you belong. But you will find that there is a purpose. It's been there within you all along.
When you're near it, you can almost hear it.
It's like a symphony. Just keep listening. And pretty soon you'll start a song.
So figure out your heart.
Everyone plays a piece. And there are melodies. Each one of us.
Everyone plays a piece, and there are melodies.